First, Merry Christmas. Friends, I have a confession to make. It's not too unseemly, so don't get anxious. I am a story-addled person. Show me a few minutes of a story, even if it's hackneyed and trite, and I'll still want to know how it ends. What else can possibly explain how I managed to stick through to the end of the first Aquaman movie? I might be on the extreme end of the spectrum of those vulnerable to being hooked by a story, but human beings are, all of us, without exception, vulnerable to the powers of narrative. We have been telling and listening to stories for thousands upon thousands of years. We not only love reading and hearing and watching stories, but we also seem to need stories to make sense of our lives, and that too in at least two senses. First, precisely because our lives are so very complex, we feel the need to give shape and structure to our own lives by telling stories about ourselves. Just count the number of memoirs on the bestseller lists these days, and you will see the truth of this claim. Our lives and the lives of others don't make much sense to us without a narrative frame. But there is a second way we seem to stand in need of story. We want, need, and are even driven to place our personal stories inside larger narratives. We want our little lives to make sense by seeing them as part of larger and even universal tales. Truthfully, all stories bleed into each other. Even minor fictional narratives bleed into our own. Presently, my wife Kate and I are immersed in the story of Harry Bosch. Bosch is a fictional, hard-boiled LAPD detective created by Michael Connelly. I have been reading Bosch books for decades now. I care about his life, his relationship with his daughter Maddie, and above all, I admire his unwavering and hard-charging pursuit of justice, no matter the cost. I want to be as unyielding in my pursuit of truth and justice as Harry Bosch is, even though I have no aspirations to become a detective. Then there are the major stories that are so powerful, so true, so captivating, that we long to place our lives inside them. The Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Bible are such epic narratives. These narratives are not mere ornamentations or divertissement or entertainment. They have the power to claim our lives and shape them in life-saving ways. Of all the stories I know, cherish, and love, none claims me so completely as the Christian gospel. What an astonishing, topsy-turvy tale. The God who created heaven and earth comes down to earth to be found in a manger. Who can conceive of such a tale? If the ancients thought that the heavens were vast, contemporary physics and cosmology have only made the claim grander still. The God of a 13.7 billion year old and still expanding universe loves us, loves me. In fact, that God's very name is love. The Christian story affirms that this all-creative love has taken on flesh. And when God took on flesh, where was the divine child to be found? In an elegant palace befitting his glory? On the contrary, the God of the universe is to be found in a manger. No place is so low that it is too low for the divine majesty. Angels announce his birth not to the privileged and the well-born, but to simple shepherds watching their flocks in their fields. Even before his birth, his mother knew the meaning of the Christ child. Mary sings, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." Here is a God who cares about the hungry, the meek, the oppressed, the outcast, sex workers, and tax collectors. And here is a God who cannot abide by those who accumulate wealth while others suffer without food and basic necessities. Here is a God who comes to remind all God's creatures that they are without exception beloved and beautiful and of infinite dignity and worth. And God's Son knows that those who need to hear that message most are those who toil on the underside of history. Now, this is a story I want to be a part of. This is the story that claims me without reserve. Now, this is the story that I want to structure my own. Is there a story more worthy of our allegiance than a story of lepers embraced, women empowered, the hungry fed, and prisoners set free? A story of a God who comes to remind us that every life, every single life, Jewish lives, black lives, indigenous lives, and yes, Palestinian lives, are all precious to the God who is even now making the heavens and the earth. I want to place my little life inside this sweeping narrative of the world turned upside down. And I know we cannot become a part of this story by sitting on the sidelines. That's not how stories work. We become part of this story when we make the story of the Christ child our own. When we learn to give ourselves, as he did, to the hungry, the vulnerable, the oppressed, and the despised. So let us pray that the story of the Christ child becomes our own. O Christ child, who is born in Bethlehem, be born in us today. Amen.